God has laid it upon my heart to preach about the upcoming issues facing our nation in this present hour of its great trauma and drama. And what we'll be sharing goes far beyond the elephant or the donkey. It goes far beyond a man or a woman. It goes far beyond Democrat or Republican. It gets down to the very core and the sides for which you and I are going to vote for. And I want you to know there are only two sides from which to choose. Two sides from which you yourself as a voter must determine whom you would cast your vote for. And those two sides are simply this: godly values and ungodly values. What God says or what man says. This is the issue. It's about religious liberty. And we as Christians must vote for biblical values. And therefore, we're going to have to determine, we're going to have to search, we're going to have to think which candidate lines up closer to the Bible. And which candidate is as far away from God as it possibly can be. And you and I, we're going to be held responsible by Almighty God. You see, because God watches over the affairs of men, God watches over you, God watches over me, and He sees everything we do. He knows the very motives of our heart. He knows what we're thinking in this very moment. And one day we're going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account for how we voted and for why we voted the way we did vote. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Israel and God's promise of blessing. And America's decision to stand with Israel will have great implications in this nation in which we live. If we want our families, our nation, and ourselves to have God's blessing, we're going to have to pray and vote for a candidate who will stand with Israel and who has proven they will stand with Israel. To do otherwise is surely going to bring God's curse down upon us. And today, as you no doubt gathered, we're going to be dealing with the second greatest issue in this election. And that is the issue of abortion, since this is God's word. This is God's truth. I think it's time we go find out what God says about life and life itself. Let's go to the source of life. What does God have to say about life? You may have your opinion, others have their opinion, but we ought to want to know what God says. Ultimately, we're going to live and die by that, and so we're either going to heaven or we're going to hell by that. We all know that. God's word is truth, and there is no other truth. And if God says there's a heaven and a hell, I don't know about you, but I believe Him. And I know that God is the creator of life, and we're not here by some mistake. And so, as we think about this, we need to be going to the source. So be finding in your Bibles, if you will, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. And this is one of several scriptures God will share with us so that we will make, there will be no mistake on God's view when it comes to abortion. And as you're turning there this morning, I want to share with you what former President Ronald Reagan had to say. And it was a very perceptive comment. President Reagan said, "I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born." If you're able, would you please rise as we honor God with the reading of His Word. Psalm 139, verse 13, "For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh God, I ask but one thing today. Lord, I ask that we all would have that ear that might hear. And I ask, Father, that you would give us a mind this morning that we all might comprehend. And I ask you to give us a heart this morning that we all might be moved to defend life, to protect life, and to stand for life. Lord, if you'll honor our request, each and every one of us has the opportunity to be the salt and light in our community. We can change the world. Because you are able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask, hope, or think. And that is your promise unto us. And you are just looking for a people who would be willing to stand in the gap for the unborn and to fight for life. Let us be that people. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. The first thing that I believe God would have us know is that this is one of those social or political issues about which the Bible is crystal clear. Our text in the scriptures that I'm about to share from God's Word clearly reveal how God values preborn life. In the children's message, we were referenced to this verse. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing when someone will go and inquire of God than to inquire of man. She went and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Genesis 25, verses 22 and 23. Psalm 22:10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Luke 1 and 44, For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Friends, God can be no clearer. And there is no Bible verse that teaches an embryo becomes a living soul at the second or third trimester because life begins at conception, period. And furthermore, the Old Testament places a greater emphasis on life for a pregnant woman than for others in society. For example, in Exodus 21, verses 22 and 23, we read, If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Mischief. If there is a there was a serious injury, the one who caused the injury to cause that woman to lose the life of that child or her own life was to die, life for life. Why did God establish this law and the consequence for breaking it? Because to place a pregnant woman in harm's way is to put two lives at risk. The same people say it's merely a blob of tissue are quick to condemn and sue a car company for killing a baby when a woman and her preborn child are killed in a car crash. If a man shoots and kills a pregnant woman, he can be charged with double homicide. When a doctor diagnoses a woman as pregnant, he doesn't say, "Congratulations, you're going to have a fetus." He says, "Congratulations, you're going to have a baby." In all these scenarios, the truth remains constant. From the moment of conception, life exists. The execution of innocent people, men, women, and children, Christian men, women, and children by ISIS and other Islamic groups is heart-wrenching. But equally horrific are the murderous actions happening right under our noses to the unborn in our communities. Every single day in America, innocent blood runs under the streets of our cities. Well, what did God have to say about this? You see, God, who knows the heart of man, has it in His Word. It is there for us so that we understand God's thoughts. And this is what God says, Proverbs 24, verse 11. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, "Behold, we knew it not," doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? Allow me to share this with you in another translation, the Living Translation. Rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. Don't stand back and let them die. Don't try to disclaim responsibility by saying you didn't know about it, for God, who knows all hearts, knows yours, and He knew you knew, and He will reward everyone according to his deeds. Even though Roe versus Wade has been overturned, yet in America, about 1.5 million abortions occur annually. That means 4,100 babies are murdered every single day in these United States. 177 every hour, every 3 minutes. And we have to wonder, with each life given a purpose by God, what might they have accomplished that could have made our world a better place? Now, I want to say to you that I am so thankful that this church, along with others in the Christian Coalition, took a stand to protect life. I'm so thankful for the Russell County Board of Supervisors who voted to protect the life of the unborn. And I'm thankful that in Russell County, Virginia, we do not celebrate June as Pride Month. We recognize June as Sanctity of Life Month and honor God by our stance. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful to be living in a place that we call God's country because we stand for God, and I am thankful for a county board of supervisors who had the courage to do what is right and thumb their nose in face of the way the rest of the world is going. Hallelujah! Thank God for our county board of supervisors. I would that all the counties of Virginia had that kind of courage. And I would that the whole state of Virginia and its legislators would honor and stand with God. But in our most recent Virginia election, Virginia chose 4 representatives to fill seats that are for abortion in our state. The seats that were lost were those who agreed with God, those who believed in the sanctity of life, and they lost. What does that tell you about our society? What does that tell you about our immorality? What does that tell you about America's willingness to murder babies? I want you to know something. Those who voted, who cast their vote for those who believe in abortion, you have blood on your hands. And they and anyone who agrees with abortion, you have blood on your hands. We know that as murder. And yet there are those who say it isn't murder, it's convenient. Or the insane excuse, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. There was a billboard coming back from Castlewood this way. Oh my gosh. If I could have gotten away with it, I'd have burned it down. In Jesus' name, of course. I'd have sent that thing right back to where it belongs, down there in hell, because it came straight from the pit of hell itself. You cannot do what you want with your body. Number one, it isn't your body. Your body is a gift from God in the life in your body. God breathed the life into your body. If God didn't breathe life into your body's just a shell. It is not your body. It's a gift from God. You and everything you have were created by God. You cannot lift a finger. You can't bat an eye. You can't say a word. You can do nothing without the grace of Almighty God. God gave you the gift of life. And as such, you are to honor God with the life that He gave you and with the gift of life that He gave you. You are to hold life, in other words, in the same manner in which God holds your life. You are to treasure it. You are to reverence it. You're to respect it because it is a gift from God above. And I doubt there's any single person in this room who would say, I wish I'd never been born. I'm glad I was born. What about you? Every one of us ought to be glad we were born. God has gifted us. God has talented us. God has blessed us. By the grace of God, here we are. By the grace of God, we stand. By the grace of God, we go through life. It is grace upon grace upon grace. In one day, and I keep telling you this, why do I tell you that it's not my idea? It's God's. He says, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God. And one day you're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. Hey, we all are going to stand before God. Lost, saved, we're all going to stand before God one day. And you know one of the things we're going to answer to God for? How we valued life. How we valued it. How did you value your own life? How did we value the life of others? How did we value the life of the unborn? Now, if a woman has had an abortion, we are not to sit in judgment. We are sinners ourselves. We are not to condemn her because perhaps she was talked into it and now lives with regret, the guilt, and the shame of it. Perhaps she didn't have what we have. She didn't have the opportunity to learn and to know God's stance on life. There is no sin that Almighty God cannot forgive, and there is no woman so bad she can't be saved, and no woman so good she need not be saved. All of us need to be saved. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But I do want to say to any woman that if she has had an abortion, you do not need to carry around shame and guilt. God can, God promises, and God will forgive you. God can restore you. And what's more, you will see that child in heaven one day, and you will have an eternity to give that child all the love it deserves. All is only lost for you if you refuse to repent of your sin, if you reject God's love for you. Abortion is not the unforgivable sin. Abortion can be forgiven, and you can be restored by the amazing grace of Almighty God. Now, friends, I want you to know the reason abortion is so prevalent in our nation is because our moral standards have been violated. Two key standards must be recognized in order to protect human life. The first standard is the Sixth Commandment. Thou shalt not kill. The second moral standard is found in our text this morning. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Human life begins at conception, and therefore it has all rights to life. And when these standards no longer carry any weight with our leaders, religious liberty. What is religious liberty? It is what God says in His Word. That's what religious liberty is. And when this book no longer holds any weight with our leaders, our religious liberty suffer. The Affordable Care Act passed in 2010, better known as Obamacare, requires religious organizations to provide contraceptives and later mandated abortion-inducing drugs. And I will say to you, if there is ever a time in America for the church to act like the Egyptian midwives of Moses' day, this is it. It is time to stand up and say enough is enough. It is time to say no to abortion. But even before the new health care law, there had been cases of forced abortion participation in the medical field. For example, at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, a nurse was forced to aid in a non-emergency abortion procedure, even though the hospital knew it violated her religious beliefs. The irony here is that the hospital forced the nurse to perform the abortion is called Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was the location where the Lord God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and said, "Thou shalt not murder." Here's another question that's often asked concerning abortion. Is abortion okay in cases of rape and incest? Many people believe that's all right, then it's justified. But God does not hold that view, that killing is okay just because the circumstances of conception are not biblical. In all of our lives, there are going to be things that happen to us, things we would not choose to have happen to us. Amen? But who ultimately is in control of our lives? Is it us or is it God? And God gives us the opportunity to respond to the unfortunate, the ungodly things that happens to us in the same manner in which Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hard as that may be. But here's God's view. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Murdering the child because of someone else's crime is wrong. It can never be justified. What crime did that child that was conceived in such an ungodly act commit that is deserving of death? To take the life of the child because of the sin of someone else or the sin of a parent in cases of incest is to commit a worse sin according to God. Abortions due to incest and rape comprise only about 1% of abortions. That means 99% of abortions have nothing to do with these sins. Now, I can't imagine the horror of being raped. I can't imagine the horror of being caught up in an incestuous relationship. Many of you probably can't imagine that either. But if it were to happen, who is the author of life? God. And that's where faith comes in. We're just going to have to believe that God can take care of us, as difficult as that may be, because that is true. God will take care of us, and that baby may turn out to be the greatest blessing the world has ever known. Because God says He can take the bad in our lives and work it all together for His glory and our good every single time, Romans 8 and 28. I know that's tough. And we'd all have to work at it. But then I see Jesus up on that cross. And I know the things that I've done. I know the crimes that I've committed. And you know the crimes that you committed. How many of you are thankful for His forgiveness? How many of you are thankful for the blood that can wash away our sins, for the blood that can make us whole again? Last point. Who's going to win when it comes to abortion? Are you aware that the millennial generation is more pro-life than their parents' generation? I was reading a book not long ago, and it was telling of those who had taken church tours to Germany's concentration camps. Some had even visited Auschwitz in Poland. And they say the children walk in utter disbelief through these horrific sights, and they turn to their parents and their grandparents and they say, "Where were you?" That's a good question, isn't it? Where were you? What were you doing to stop this? Perhaps as James Garlow once stated, there will be tours someday in America of abortuaries, the killing centers in the United States. And children will look at their parents and they'll look at their grandparents and they'll demand an explanation. What were you doing to prevent this genocide from happening? What did you do to stop it? If those questions were asked, what are you going to say if they were asked of you? You see, I know what God says because I've read the book. And I pray that you've read the book so that you also know what God says. Here's what God says in case you haven't read the book. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. I will say it again. If you go along with abortion, you've got blood on your hands. If you vote for those who agree that murdering babies is okay, you've got blood on your hands. And it's time to stand with God when it comes to the issue of life and oppose and fight for the unborn. Thank God we live in a county that had the courage to do just that. I hope you pray for the County Board of Supervisors. You see, they're the tip of the spear, if you will, when it comes to how Russell County is going to be governed and what Russell County will stand for. And thank God they listen to the church, so that when the church speaks, they listen. I'm glad they view the church as E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton spoke, everybody listened. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we get back to that day? County Board of Supervisors are willing to do that. But it goes deeper than that, friend. Do you have the courage to fight for life? The first great issue in this upcoming election is, are we going to have a president who will not give lip service to standing with Israel, but when things get tough and the rest of the world says, you got to go with us, they'll say, no, one in God is a majority. Those are God's people. I don't care what any other nation does. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then the second greatest issue, which they're trying to turn into the great issue, is the issue of abortion. In one day, as I keep reminding you, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account to Him for how we valued life. And we're not going to get away with burying our head in the sand, pretending it is not our problem. It is our problem. And it is a problem tied directly to our religious liberties. Life, the right to life, and the fight for life is every man and woman's responsibility. And that's God's view on abortion. What's yours? Where do you stand? Do you hold to God's view? Have you ever given it a thought? We all know we can go through life, get so busy, just focus on our own stuff, and never concern ourselves with what's happening in our world. And that's what we did in America for far too long. And that's why America has fallen so far from grace. Now, I'm going to tell you what I keep telling people every time they ask me. We don't need to make America great again. We need to take back America for God. That's what we need to do. And the people who are going to take back America is the church. And when the church stands up and says enough is enough, when the church stands up and demands accountability, and we've already proven it here in Russell County, when Russell County's churches stood up in front of the Board of Supervisors, they quickly got things done according to the Word of God. That's because they listened and they knew that one day they're going to be held accountable for how they voted. You say, how did they know that? Because I told them. I am so thankful to be in Russell County, Virginia. And I would that all of America would be like Russell County, Virginia. That we would say no to abortion. No to killing babies. Enough is enough. Father God, as we go to prayer, Lord, perhaps we've never been confronted by your word in such a way when it comes to abortion. I don't know. Only you do. But Lord, I've been driven to my knees this week. Because for too long, I'd done nothing. Lord, I'm thankful I've had the opportunity to stand before the Board of Supervisors and fight for life. Thankful I can be here in this church today to fight for life. Lord, I don't know about others, but I just wonder today if we need to come and just ask you to forgive us for not considering that we should have always been battling for life. It is our problem. And it's the problem of this nation. We have been crucifying children at the altar of Moloch. We have worshiped the false god of this world when it comes to sex. We have been irresponsible in handling the gift of sex as a nation. And we have allowed every sexual sin into our nation, and the result is that innocent children have suffered because of our own irresponsibility, our own immorality. You name it, we've done it in America. And right now we are living under the passive wrath of God, and one day we're going to face the wrath of Almighty God here in America. And in this window of opportunity that you are giving us, right now, God, you are calling your church to repent. And Lord, we know what your word says. When judgment begins, it begins at the house of God. We know what your word says. If my people, and that's the church, who are called by my name will humble themselves, and that's the problem. Too many of us are unwilling to humble ourselves before Almighty God. But you have said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. But our pride and our arrogance in America has allowed the murder of innocent children for far too long. And I do know this, when we confess, when we repent, God restores. Lord, we don't deserve your restoration, but we are begging for your restoration in America today. Lord, if America does not return back to God, there will be no more America. You have been so patient with us, but there comes an end to patience and judgment must come. And we are at the doorstep of it. Your word teaches it. Your word speaks it. And up to now, we've been too ignorant to pay attention to it. Too busy. Too busy with everything else. God, would you bring us back to you this morning? And I just pray as we close and Marty comes to lead, and maybe we'll come and we'll pray. God, forgive us as a nation. Forgive us for our immorality. Forgive us for our lack of responsibility. Forgive us for our commitment to everything else but you and your word. There may be somebody here who wants to be baptized. Perhaps you don't know Christ as your Savior. What a wonderful day to get saved. I can think of no greater thing in all of life than to know that I've given my heart to Jesus. And heaven's going to be my home. Oh, God. Would your spirit move in this place in a manner and in a way it has never moved before in all of this church's life? It's in your name we pray. Amen.